Hello, family. Welcome to The Wealth Cycle, where we teach you how to build a legacy. We just had an episode where we taught people how to get out of debt. We call it Do Good. And we went over the four stages of financial growth. Number one is spending control. We're going to cover that tonight. The second is debt elimination. We teach a series on that. It's called Do Good, Get Out of Debt. And then the third thing that we teach is something called save besting. That's how to save money and how to invest. You know where I'm going. And then the fourth thing that we teach is we teach you how to build a wealth machine God's way. So you have what's called income and you get it from different sources. So when I list those four things, do you see the first thing we start off with is spending control? That means having a budget. If we don't have a budget, it's going to be very difficult to get out of debt. See, I want to get out of debt, but we have to have spending control. I want to invest, but we got to have a budget. And also, I want to run a business. So how do we do it? So we want to learn how to budget. So first of all, someone asked me, and I'm asked this quite a bit. Why do I need a budget? I'll tell you, reason number one, I got five of them. Reason number one why people want to have a budget is it helps you achieve your goal. We need to find out what your why is. In other words, like the first goal that most people have in doing this is that they say that, hey, I'd like to retire one day. So you actually need to save to be able to do that. So you need to have a budget. Also, hey, I'd like to buy a car too. I'd like to buy a home. Hey, or I just want to go on a vacation. I need to do that. Or I want to open up a business. We need to know why you're doing that. And then that's why you actually have a budget. Two, it helps you not spend money first you don't have, or you're spending it in the wrong areas, which leads me to number three, is this. It stops you from spending money in the wrong areas, or it finds out where you are spending money. Some people say, oh, I didn't know that I spent hundreds of dollars on going to Starbucks or doing that. There's nothing wrong with it, but if you take $5 a day, five times a week, that's $25. There's 4 weeks in the month. That means that's $100 times 12. That's $1,200. That's not including scones, donuts, and all the other stuff that you buy there. And then you don't want to get something for a friend. So what we do is we're finding out where we're spending our money, which brings us to number four. You want to it helps you prioritize your spending. It helps you find out where you want your money spent that can have the highest and best used. That is so exciting, and that's how we do it. And then lastly, it helps you, I already said achieve your goals, but helps you be able to retire. But then also when you retire, it's happier because you kind of know when you can. If you have a budget, say this is how much I spend a month, you kind of know that's your budget. So then when you get ready to go on trips, vacations, different things, you can be able to manage and manage through difficult times. Do you see right now when we have inflation? Well, how do we adjust to that? How do we make mention of that? How does that work? What we do is we have spending control and we have a budget. So you guys, that's how we do it. And we're going to walk through this tonight. And I have some very special guests and we'll be able to do that. So all I have to say is this. Is everybody ready? Ready, set, grow. Hello, family. We're back, and I got my guest with me. Okay, we got Shayna Malcolm. Shayna, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Now, she has been budgeting and helping people for a very long time, and we're going to learn a lot of tips today in doing it. And then also, we have an example of someone who's walked through this and also been blessed by this. Everybody give a shout-out. Burnell, how you doing?
I'm well, George. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
That's good, man. I'm glad you guys are here. So earlier, I just went over the importance of having a budget. You know what I mean? Like it helps us stay on target, you know, different things like this. But also, Shayna, can you also just tell us why the budgets are just so important? And then I want to walk through some elements of it.
Absolutely. So a lot of people always ask, like, what is the importance of having a budget? Because it does come like a tedious task or like a chore. But in order to be successful at anything, you need a plan. And what normally happens with a plan, if you don't have one, what happens? It derails. So having a budget allows you from start A, the top of the month, to B, the end of the month, to have a plan and track as you go through it.
Right. I think that's important because I feel like a lot of times you start off at the beginning of the month, right? And he's got a lot of water, like it's filled up. And then you want to run. You guys remember that we used to run that little thing in this little track? And you want to run, and at the end of the month, have some water left in the bucket, right? But then some people, like the minute the month starts, all the water's gone. Can't fight a fire. You need water to drink. You need that to go.
Yes.
Just like in your, but you need finances to keep everything flowing.
Yes.
And keep everything going. So that's one of the reasons why I think that that's really important. Yep. But hey, let's get right into it and everything. So what are some elements of a budget that we always look at?
Starts off with income. You right. need income with a budget. So some people are W-2. You have salary. You have a set dollar amount that you get per month after tax dollars. The money that hits your direct deposit or your bank. Start with that. Then you need to list all your expenses.
Gotcha.
Fixed
let's
expenses.
Stop right here and go over that. So let's go income. Everybody want to make sure. Everyone write down your income. So that means your job. So in doing this, it's W-2, mm-hmm. it's 1099. Mm-hmm. And then when we ever write down what our budget is, we want to write down those numbers as well.
Absolutely.
So what we're doing is I want you to even write in things. This is the visionary part. I want you to write in things that we don't even have. Like write down rental income. I don't have a house. Then we're going to say, hey, write down not only rental income, write down if you guys royalties. I haven't written a book, or I haven't done this, or I haven't done that. Write down at least four sources of income. If you don't have them, then what are we going to do? Start developing them. So that starts with income. Then you said expenses. So everybody real quick before she goes through expenses, just we'll let you know what net worth is. That's your income minus your expenses. And it, but you had a little bitty expenses. But anyway, go ahead, expenses.
So expenses are everything that you need to run your daily life, starting with housing. So you have rent, electricity, gas, all of that good stuff, groceries in that section. And then you have savings, tithing. You have gas, dining out, which becomes a variable expense, which we were just talking about.
Entertainment is what people tell us. Mm-hmm.
The Targets, the Walmarts, all the extra good stuff.
Oh, right. Don't forget about Amazon.
Amazon, for sure.
We're talking about these now, but don't worry about it. Later on, when we get into, say, vesting, we're going to talk about we want to track all these companies that you're spending money at to turn around to own them. But we ain't talking about Costco today.
But definitely everything that is fixed for sure. And then variable, we want to have a list of those as well, because we were talking a lot about variable expenses, and that can take your budget and derail it as well.
Gotcha. So one thing, and I want also to talk to I also want Vernell to chime in, is there are also sections of your budget. So one of the things that we do that I also teach in our book, but also Shayna also work, you know, as you know, you work for me also for my financial planning company, is that we actually break it down into percentages so that we find out where our money flow is, one. Second is so we can prioritize it. If somebody says, I want to buy a home, then we have to spend a certain amount of our income on a home. We have to spend a certain amount of our time. Remember stewardship, time, talent, temple, treasure. We have to spend a certain amount of time looking. We have to spend a certain amount of time of our assets doing that and different things. Can we talk a little bit about sections? And then I want Vernell, just from seeing this just in general. So what are some of the sections? So the first one is
housing.
So that means rent, coming to you, Vernell, rent or mortgages. Then if you have a house, HOA fees, and then just two of the other elements of that in there.
Electricity, gas, groceries can be included in housing, but that's a variable expense. But right. you do want to fixate that in there, because it should be about 30% of your income that goes to housing.
Gotcha. You guys remember that? That's important when you buy a house. What are some of the things that you kind of see, like far as at least in the different area of the section? Let's start with housing and different things.
Well, one of the things that I think that was left out, if you mentioned mortgage.
Yeah.
So if you buy a home with the FHA loan, you're going to have a PMI, which is the the mortgage that you're going to pay on. I mean, the insurance you're going to pay on top of your regular mortgage. And so you need to take care of that as well, or account that for expenses as well.
Right.
You mentioned utilities, electricity. You mentioned groceries. You mentioned taxes. So I think, those are the kind of the main areas as far as housing are concerned. But I think also you want to, if you own a home especially, you want to prepare, you want to have a separate budget for repairs. Because right. when you own a home, there's going to be maintenance.
Okay. All right. Good. So everybody, you know, what's so interesting when you say that is that, do you guys know businesses, when businesses own mm-hmm. something, they call it capital mm-hmm. appreciation. So they have to, they set aside a certain amount. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to start naming stadiums in a minute, but I'm going to come right back to mm-hmm. you. But if there's a Staples Center, then they'll do renovations. Mm-hmm. I haven't, the last, if you guys go, I travel around with the kids this summer and everything like that. Mm-hmm. You go to hotels, they have to keep renovating. Mm-hmm. But hey, why are we talking about that in you? You have to set aside a certain amount of money to fix up your home. And I think people don't do it because when you get ready to retire, and we go through this, I know I'm getting mm-hmm. down here to the, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I'm gonna come back. Later on, when you get ready to retire, you have to fix up your house. You can either fix up your house mm-hmm. all along. And we have certain things we do for investment properties, where if you notice, because also Shana manages my properties as well, is that we will manage them the exact same way. Like we'll say, hey, every 5 years, we're going to go and fix this. We're going to be ahead of it to do that. Or people go wait until 10 or 15 years, then spend $100,000. It's better to do that along. So how did you do that? Begin to start saving and different things for renovations and everything like that, or when you're going to fix something up?
Well, I think first it starts with the mindset, because then we're talking about process, but mindset is critical. That's really what we're talking about now. You have to have a wealth mindset, have a mindset to be a good steward over what you have. And so you have to, I think, one, research, right. Understand the approximate cost of how much your maintenance is going to cost, and start setting that money right. aside separately. Because there's always something that comes up, an emergency that you didn't plan for, and that's what that money that you saved and set aside for. Is for to take care of those emergencies or things that pop up that you least expect.
Right. I'm going to go to the next area, what you think next on the budgets we have to do. But I'll just end it with this, is that the reason why people should save and then invest the money properly if they're doing it is because right now we're living in a time where we have hyperinflation.
Absolutely.
And when you go to Home Depot, you can go there one day and you come back the next a week mm-hmm. later and stuff is hot. First, if they have it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So then now you start even holding inventory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I went down there, I went down there to get a garage door opener, and I went, there's only two left. So there's three left. So I got two of them because I'm going to keep this one until the next time something happens, because mm-hmm. I don't want to come in here and they don't have one.
I did the same thing.
But you have to have it.
Yes.
So I'm going to give my quick money saving tip. Then I'm coming right back to you to go to the next area. Is that so? I go to Home Depot. I'm doing a commercial with these guys. I go there quite a bit. And I look at the clearance area and look at anything that we might need. And sometimes I just get it. And then like sometimes we get a call. Then it's like boom. But mm-hmm. you see that helps save money. But we can only do that because we have an annual budget. Mm-hmm. We factor that into rents. We factor into that. So this is as you guys are going, and then also. As you become an investor, I want you to think like an investor right now. If you're living in an apartment, when I used to live in a studio apartment, I'd always start thinking about when I had a property, how I would go, how to manage it. Mm-hmm. That's why I always treated my properties very well and treat things very well, because then when you move to your own property, you can. The Bible says in Matthew 25 and 18, you are faithful over few things, I'll make you ruler over many. So you have to learn how to be a good steward over what you said. Mm-hmm. All right, what's another area that you look at, just next section?
So the way we actually skipped a section, but we started talking immediately about expenses, and I totally forgot at the top of the budget is 10% for your tithe and 10% for saving for yourself, just right. automatically out of expenses. Right. Then you move down to housing, and then under that, you're going to have risk management, which is usually about 3% of that.
What's risk management?
Usually you have your life insurance, your health insurance, if it's not already coming out pre-tax dollars out of your check, any other legal attorney fees or expenses that you have in that area, just risk management.
Gotcha. So I'm going to list them again. So that's life insurance. Mm-hmm. That's something we also, long-term care. Now, familiar with that, sure. You guys just, we'll talk about that because you want to do that. And I'm going to throw this out there. If you're doing something for your family, mm-hmm. also, you need to check this with your other family. Make sure they have long-term care. Mm-hmm. Sure. If your parents do not have long-term care, then there's Please. A kitchen table conversation yes, that needs to be had. Yep. Mom, mama, dad, if you guys get sick, who's going to take care of you? And where do you want to live? Mm-hmm. When they say they want to live right here in the house, then you need to see, go call up and see how much that costs to have care. Mm-hmm. And then start doing that and talk to your brothers and sisters and start seeing who's going to start paying, because you want to know that now, not after something happens. Mm-hmm. Let's go back. Risk mm-hmm. management, life insurance, long-term care, mm-hmm. car insurance. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then also
any other insurance that you have, disability, so that's risk management. You guys understand with risk is where, while you say risk management is, we're managing it. You can try to avoid risk. That means what? I guess not drive, I guess, right? Not drive, not live, I guess.
Stand.
I forgot you. Okay. Then you can try avoidance. Then there's something called transfer and manage. Transfer means having someone else help you with it. That's that short-term disability, long-term disability, but you need to have a conversation about that. And you said that should be about 3% of your income. Any insight or anything about anything you want to add about you going through that or anything with risk management and your feelings?
Yeah, I want to add something, because one of the things I think that especially people in our community miss out on is we look at insurance as another bill that we have to pay per month. But we don't understand is that insurance is actually an investment vehicle.
Yeah,
right. And it's one of the ways that you build generational wealth, because even if you don't necessarily collect it, when it's time for your family to receive that income, that's a large sum of money that they can then use to then benefit and gain wealth moving forward. So I think one of the things that we especially have to do is change our mindset when it comes to insurance. We just treat it if it's a bill that we have to pay that I'm not really going to need, but if you look at it from an investment standpoint, that's another investment. Just like we talked about, buying a home or investing. You talked about in different companies, insurance as another investment strategy that we should be focusing on moving forward, because that's one of the ways that you can basically pass on wealth almost tax-free. So it's something to definitely take advantage of.
Right. No, it's a great way to look at it. And so what it does actually is two things. Mm. First is it protects what you have.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm assuming everybody has car insurance. Mm-hmm. You have it for two reasons. One is in case you get into an accident or you hit a Bentley, right? I don't know if you got that just sitting around. That's one. But then second, if somebody hits you, because it's a problem, is that I've been in accidents and people tell me a time on Sunday they've been in an accident and the other person was uninsured. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Or what's called underinsured, where it didn't pay, where their insurance pays for it. Or let's say it takes a really long time.
Yeah.
Your insurance may pay, and then they'll pay later. Mm-hmm. And then there's a member, we don't use terms, but anyway, so I know you take all the tests. It's called subrogation, where the one insurance company pays the other insurance company. So your insurance pays for everything, then they get the money from the other insurance company. But you need a car to drive. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So number one, that protects not only, that's why it's an investment, because it protects your time and it gives you the ability. If you need a car to get to work, then you need a car to get to work.
Yeah.
And you want to get the help. You need the care that you need. So number one, it protects. And then second one that you're bringing up is it stops loss of income. Mm-hmm. So like if somebody were to be injured and it pays for that, then you have that. Like if you have rent, if you have insurance on a property and then there's a fire on that property, something happens to the property, it'll pay the tenant's rent, or it'll pay to relocate them or to do certain things.
Yes.
That's why you want to check your policies. I know we're talking about beginning budget, but also I want to bring up advanced things as well for them to do it. So these are things you want to have, and then that brings up the term umbrella policy. Because a lot of people say, we get asked in our real estate classes, I get asked, hey, should I open up an LLC and do this? And I say, yes, you can do all that, all the above, but get an umbrella policy. Because if someone gets in a fight on your property, you ain't even there. They don't sue the person. They sue the people with the money. Because if you guys don't know that, ask people. All right, wait. They don't sue broke people. Wait, there ain't no point in even.
Right.
I've been told that too. They weren't even going. Yeah, so they weren't going. Nope. So that's the importance of that in risk management. Okay, let's go to the next category, and then you let me know which one you want to do before we hit entertainment.
So that side of the budget is usually fixed. We got insurance on that side, transportation, which is gas, and this side is more so variable. Everything on the other side, where you have your gas, which is something that you for sure are going to need during the month, but it's going to be a different cost based on how much you drive.
Right.
And then you have debt. You want to have your minimum payments, all of your minimums at least 10%.
Gotcha.
Minimums and a debt eliminator, but we'll go into that later.
Gotcha. So that's good. So wait, let's talk about debt and then I'll get your input in there. So one of the things is that you brought up is this. So we always want to write down your debts, what they are, then the minimum payment.
Correct.
And then you're going to do that plus a debt multiplier. That means at least $100 above and beyond what is owed. And you're going to pay down your debt and not add to it because you have a budget.
Correct.
So this is the whole thing. If you want to learn how to get out of debt, we did a previous episode on this where we did it and we called it Do Good, Get Out of Debt, Crystal went all, yes, walked all through it, everything it. Like that.
I was watching, I was learning.
So in doing it, and I just think that one of the things is, I want to just bounce off you about paying off debt and doing it, is that was, I learned that day when she was asking me actually questions, is that is a tool that has helped me be able to, we're going to do a whole episode on this, how to build wealth by learning how to pay down debt. Because that same technique you can use to build wealth is how you pay down debt. Mm-hmm. Anything about going through the debt multiplier you thought that was a aha moment or really assisted you in that area?
Well, I keep going to mindset, because that's, you talked about it earlier, having a wealth mindset. I think a lot of people are ignorant. The Bible says that my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Right. A lot of people don't even know how much debt they currently have.
Right.
So, you know, when you have to be willing to confront. A lot of people are fearful, right, of how much they owe. But you have to be, one of the challenges for me that was, even before I started the process, was just being able to confront and look at how much money I owed, whether it be school loans, car loan, whatever it was. I'd be able to look at all my debt, take a deep breath, and say, I got this, and I'm gonna conquer, you know, this giant. I think you have to first have the belief that you can do it, and then you start, you know, breaking down how much money you owe, and then you create the debt eliminator plan that you talked about, and then walk through the individual steps. I would say the one thing that's beneficial is that there may be times where, as we talked about earlier, unexpected expenses and things come up. Don't feel bad if you have to set aside a month here or there to take care of, you know, some emergencies that pop up. The key is get back, you know, on track, get back on the plan, and keep, you know, pursuing towards your debt elimination goal. And one of the things that's beneficial is, as you pay down the smaller debts, those smaller victories, yes, increase your confidence, mm-hmm, and help to continue to push you forward, you know, to pay down the rest of the debts. Because it's one thing to believe it. It's another thing to actually see it working, mm-hmm, and you're actually going through the steps, and what you didn't think was possible is now possible. And so that journey gives you the confidence to move forward, and also help somebody else that may have the same desire as you to want to get out of debt, but is afraid to, you know, to start the process, or afraid to confront, you know, the amount of money that they owe, because it is scary. And so by you going through the process, you also encourage other people and give other people the strength that they can do it themselves. And so I think that's the beauty, you know, of getting out of debt and walking through that, mm-hmm, process. Absolutely. It's not just for you, it's for other people as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Shana, what about you walking people through this,
absolutely,
process?
Accountability is
I knew that was
you coming. Know the word that comes to mind, because you start with a plan, and it's the same with your budget, mm-hmm, it's the same with debt. You write down your debt, you write down your expenses, but accountability is how you're going to get out of it. Mm-hmm. You can say all day long, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Something will pop up. If you don't plan for those little things that pop up, October, Halloween expenses, mm-hmm, come up, candy, treats, all the good fun stuff, then you got Thanksgiving, then you got Christmas. We have to plan for those things. Every month has something, but you also need accountability for someone to say, okay, what did I say I was going to get done? Who's going to keep hold me accountable of making sure that I did what I said I was going to do, and let me write down the plan and follow the plan.
Right.
So yeah.
Can I add one more thing quickly?
Oh, yeah.
So you said something that triggered me. You mentioned Thanksgiving, mm-hmm, and Christmas.
Yep.
One of the things that's important to you know, go through and understand your debt is to also understand how you actually spend money. Because money, we have a relationship with money. Mm-hmm. How we spend our money, how we save our money, how we invest our money, it's a relationship. And so many of us don't understand that relationship, which is why we don't want to necessarily see,
yeah,
the debt. But the beauty of tracking your expenses every month is that you can't hide, you know, you can't hide what your relationship is when it comes to money. And a lot of us go broke trying to buy gifts for everybody and their mama, knowing that we're already struggling, knowing that our credit score is below 600, and yet we're still spending all this money just because it's just what you do. It's tradition. Mm-hmm. And companies and family members and all this, there's all this internal and external pressure to go broke and to get further into debt during the holiday time. And so it's really, really important to be able to understand what real love is, and understand that one of the best ways you can show love, especially to yourself, is to be able to resist the temptation to go for broke. And you know, your gift to yourself for Christmas is, I'm going to pay off this bill. So
right.
Instead of spending a bunch of money on gifts, I'm going to put money, you know, towards my debt and go that much closer to reaching my goal of becoming debt free. But you have to be able to resist the temptation. So you mentioned the accountability. The discipline, you know, goes hand in hand with that. So being able to walk past that clearance you know, or you know, tell the kids, I'm sorry, you know, we can't get gifts this year. It'll hurt, but what do you want more? Do you want to, you know, appease them and buy them gifts they're going to use temporarily and not use again? Or do you want to, you know, become debt free and then you'll have a disposable income to be able to potentially buy things you need without going into debt to do it?
Right. That was, you guys brought up so many good points, but I do have to bring this up about Christmas and about accountability. Yeah. Having a budget actually helps you with these things.
Does.
So like if you look at it, like when we say we have a Christmas account, oh my gosh, and we have a client, and he had passed, his name was Chris, and he was the one, he used to have a Christmas account. Mm-hmm. So what he would do is he'd save up money all year to spend for Christmas.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Then he started working with us. I'm sorry, money in motion. Then I was the first one to say this, man, he goes, Pastor George, what do you do? I said, oh, I don't do that. What I do is I would buy gifts all year round. So, you know, on January 1st, I went in, I shot videos of this. I went in and they had a sale at this one store, these shoes. I called other pastors and I said, hey man, what, and they had 60% off. And then it was like 40% off of that. I was like, this is like, I'll add up to almost 100. So anyway, I went in there and they had these things. They had the shirts and everything. I said, what size are y'all? And I said, then I found out there were some basic sizes. I said, I just want to let you know, in January, I bought your guys' gifts for Christmas this year. And I said, and they go, well, how do I know which one I get? I said, based on how you treat me, we're going to see what you got.
Right.
So y'all know what you got. Okay. So, but you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Make it fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With the kids. And remember that, everybody? At the very beginning, I told y'all, there's three things you can do when you make a dollar. Spend it, lend it, or own something. Mm-hmm. So you guys already know where I am, and you already know the people that are already mad at me about this, and let me know in the chat, is because you stop spending and you move into owning. Mm-hmm. Like you're saving money and buying, investing, and we'll go in this in our next episode, but also that you're investing is buying stock for kids. So I'm not trying to plug Nike. We're not giving no stock recommendations. I'm just using an example. If we're out there buying Nike tennis shoes and people spend $200, like, wait a minute, let's look how much a share costs. Mm-hmm. Let's get a little more inexpensive. Let's spend $200, but let's get a share and get a pair of shoes. And then you're teaching them ownership. So you're saying that's passing a generational legacy. In doing that.
Absolutely.
So that's how we're doing it. We'll come back to that a little bit earlier. Also, both of you brought up the area also about accountability. Mm-hmm. I think accountability is very important.
Yeah.
Accountability is have someone, we used to do something called Hands-On Thursdays here, where somebody had a partner they would go through and go over their budget, someone they could call, almost like a lifeline. That somebody said, hey, I was getting ready to spend, but I said, hey, we're all doing this together. I think one of the toughest things is doing things by yourself.
Sure.
So you can do that, go through your budget and debt and have a friend like say, hey, my goal this month is to save $100. My goal this month is to save $300. Because you know the people that used to tell me my goal is to save $100, now they save $1,000.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Then their businesses grew to a point where they can save $5,000. Yep. And you know this, $10,000. And then they tell us this, hey, I'm going to work 2 more years. I'm going to be able to retire. It's because of what they did earlier. Mm-hmm. Anything else about budgeting you think that would be very important to people?
Absolutely. So we all get caught up monthly with the miscellaneous expenses. My main thing I would suggest to anyone that hasn't done a budget or doesn't feel comfortable doing a budget is go back 30 days and track all your expenses. Take everything out and put what the income was. Take everything out, add up all the dining out, all the gas, everything, so that you know exactly what you spent the month before, and then you can project the month forward. So that way you know what you did last month and what you need to eliminate to fit in the specific areas for the next month going forward.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm going to ask that quickly. My previous financial advisor, when I first started this debt elimination journey, don't. I think he's going to go there.
Yeah.
This is what she told me. She said, give me an estimate for how much you think you spend in all the different areas that we just touched on and talked about. So I gave her those estimates. Then she said, I want you to track every single receipt in those same categories and see how much money you've actually spent at the end of the month. And with the importance of it is you can know what you think you spend versus what you actually spend. And then you can do what Shana said is figuring out, okay, you talked about entertainment. I spent $300, but I want to spend one. So now you can make the adjustments you need to make.
Right.
So you can set, you can meet the targets that you set, but you won't know unless you start tracking and know for know exactly how much you spend in each of those areas to be able to adjust accordingly.
Right. So family, hope you learned something today. One of the things that you should, one of the first things that we learned was, is that we, number one, understand the importance of a budget. Then we also went through the mechanics of a budget. So we want to put that together to show you how to build wealth, but also how to be intentional and prioritize to achieve the goals that God has for you. So I look forward to seeing you on our next episode of The Wealth Cycle. God bless you.